Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let the church say amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. I know we can do better than that. All right. Very good. All right. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. All right. You probably have heard that this is the most wonderful time of the year. All right. Many are festive. They are joyful. And that is a good thing.
Amen.
All right. But what happens when January comes? All right. So we know that as the people of God, we should always be joyful.
Amen.
Right, we should always have a joyful heart, knowing that we are the people of God. All right. So we know that. That's the attitude that we should have. But we know that as we go through different things in life, sometimes that can damper our joy. But we got to keep ourselves focused on the Lord and His love. So this is what the lesson here is in touch with here. All right. So, title of the lesson here is called Rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord. And I'll ask you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to take a look here at verses 12 through 18. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. All right, when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to give a couple more seconds then. All right. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. All right. You have it? Here we go.
All right.
Verse number 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. As I said, the title of the lesson here is Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And here we have the Apostle Paul. And he's writing here from prison to the Christians here at Philippi. All right? And there was probably no other congregation that was closer to Paul's heart than the Christians' brothers here at Philippi. And one of the reasons that he is writing to them is to encourage them to stand firm in the face of suffering and persecution. And you can find that there in verses 27 through 30. But despite his imprisonment and their suffering, he writes to remind them that they can have joy in the Lord in the midst of any circumstance. And you will find the word joy or rejoice in this letter here more than you will find in any other letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. Mm-hmm. So the question that I present for us today is, how do you have joy in certain circumstances, or such circumstances as Paul is facing here, and the Christians here at Philippi? How do you have joy in such circumstances?
Yes, sir.
How do you have joy when you're in prison? All right. How do you have joy when you're going through persecutions? How do you have joy when you are suffering? All right. First of all, I'd like us to understand that we're not talking about being happy. All right. Being happy is because of the circumstances or something is happened to me. I just got paid. All it's right. Friday. I'm happy. All right. I just got a new car. I can smell the new car smell off, and I got a new car. I'm happy. Yeah, and happy is because something has happened to me. That's where happiness comes from. But joy is much deeper. Joy comes from within. Right. All right, it is deep within. Joy is described as cheerfulness. That is a calm delight. All right. Joy is also described as a gladness of heart and also great pleasure. So I'd say that a Christian joy comes from knowing that I am in a right relationship with God. That's where my joy would come from, knowing that I am in a right relationship with my Creator. All right. And joy comes from knowing that we have the promised hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, I got a promised hope that it gives me joy in this life. See, I know that this life is not all there is to offer me. I know that when I die, that this is not the end for me in my relationship with God. So I have hope and also joy because of the eternal, because of Jesus Christ and Him dying and being resurrected, it gives me hope. So I'm not saying that we're always going to walk around with a smile on our face, but we can have joy in our hearts and know that it's well with our soul because we know who our Creator is. We know that we're in a relationship with God who said that He would never leave us or forsake us. Amen. So I can have joy in any circumstance that I go through in this life. But let's see why Apostle Paul said that he had joy or that he could rejoice. Let us go back into verse number 12 where we begin our reading here. All right, verse number 12. All right, it reads, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." So Paul says, as he writes to the Christians here at Philippi, he says, what has happened to me, it has actually served to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, so Paul here is in prison, and he knows that his imprisonment has served to allow the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to grow and to advance. See, Paul recognized something here while he was in prison. What he recognized was God was at work. All right, sometimes in our life we don't know how God is always working in our lives. But Paul here recognized that God was at work. And Paul says here that he recognized that God was at work and despised his personal trouble that he was going through, he could still be joyful. Even though I'm in prison, I see what's going on here, that the gospel is being advanced, and I can still have joy. See, Paul knew that it wasn't overall about him, but it was about Jesus Christ. It was about God's plan and about the gospel being advanced. See, this was Paul's number one concern. This is what Paul's life was all about, the gospel being advanced, the gospel being spread. When Paul came a Christian back in Acts chapter 9 and verse 16, Paul was told by the Lord how much that he was going to have to suffer for the Lord.
That's right.
All right, Paul already knew this. So Paul knew that he would suffer much for Christ, and he counted the cost. All right, Paul already knew that suffering was going to come, and he had counted the cost that no matter what came his way, he was not going to leave Christ. Yeah. He was going to stay faithful to Christ no matter what happened in his life. All right, so before becoming a Christian, we all must count the cost and teach others to do the same. All right, so no matter what happens to my life, I'm going to stay with the Lord.
That's right.
All right, I didn't count the cost. Whatever comes my way, I'm not leaving the Lord. I'm staying faithful and true to the Lord. And when we have new members come into the body, we need to teach them the same.
That's right.
That it's not going to all be walking on rose petals. All right, the devil's going to get busy.
Yes, sir.
But we need to be busy as staying in the word of the Lord, fellowshipping with one another, praying, staying connected to our God and His people. Because devil is not going to give us any leeway. He's not going to give us any easy route on this walk to heaven. All right? So we know in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, it says, "All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You live a godly life, persecution is going to come. We also know Job chapter 14 and 1 tells us man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. So we know trouble is going to come in our lives. And as the old saying goes, you don't have to trouble trouble for trouble to trouble you. Trouble is going to come in our lives. Also, we hear that you're either in a storm All right? Coming out of a storm or about to go into a storm.
That's right. That's
troubles in life are going to come our way. All right? So we know that. So it's better to go through the troubles in life with Jesus than without him.
Amen.
All right? We already know troubles going to come, but we need to stay in the Lord and go through the troubles and go through them with Jesus. So the point is, as we go through those troubles, we need to have the right perspective as we go through those troubles. We need to have the right perspective and attitude and look to have joy and glorify God even in our trials. All right, not feeling the best, but I'm still blessed.
Amen.
All right, so we're always looking to give glory to God no matter what we're going through, because without God, we would have nothing. All right, James chapter 1 and verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind. So we know that whenever we go through trials, it's going to help us to be stronger. All right, we have the old saying, if it don't kill you, it's going to make you stronger.
Sure.
We go through the trials of life and go through them the way God wants them to go, want us to go through them, it's going to help us to grow closer to God. It's going to help us to grow closer to him and going to help us to trust him more and more as we go through those trials that we go through. See, Paul, he didn't give up or blame God because he was in prison. All right, we know sometimes we go through hard things, we begin to blame God. All right, we can begin to blame God, you know, point the finger at God as we go through our trials, want to leave God because we're going through different things. But we see this was not Paul's attitude. Paul didn't give up or blame God because he was in prison. Paul continued to preach and live the gospel, and that was evident. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. It says here in verse 13 and 14, he says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am chained for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So Paul says there in verse 13, he says that the whole palace guard and everyone else know that I'm in prison, but I'm not in prison from some crime that I committed. I'm in prison because I'm making a stand for Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. Because of my stand for Christ, that's why I'm in prison. And that became evident to everybody that was around Paul. All right, that should be the same in our lives. People should know that we're making a stand for Jesus Christ. People should know that we're Christians and that we are serving God, our Creator. And in verse number 14, Paul also speaks there. He says, because of his stand for Christ, other Christians were influenced and encouraged to proclaim the gospel without fear. And thus we continue to see the advancement of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Because of your influence, I can influence, because I'm making a stand, that can influence you. All right, because of your stand, you're influencing somebody else. Because we're making a stand for Christ. All right, we see there that the brothers and sisters now, they proclaiming God's word even more without fear as they once had before because of the influence of the Apostle Paul. And in verse 15 here through 17, Paul speaks about the two motives of those who were preaching the gospel. He says in verse 15, he said, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in prison. All right, so Paul spoke of those who preach with pure motives. All right, he says those who preach out of goodwill and love. That's how the gospel always should be preached.
Amen.
All right, out of goodwill and love and compassion for the lost souls of men. Always preaching for the souls of men and doing so out of goodwill and love. Then he says, on the other hand, there are others who preach. He didn't say they were false preachers, but they preach with the wrong motives.
That's right.
All right, they had the wrong motives about why they're preaching. They preach out of envy, rivalry, and selfish ambition, not sincere, but they wanted to stir up trouble for Paul.
Yes, sir.
They wanted to stir up trouble for Paul. All right? The devil, he causes trouble for Paul outside of the jail, and he caused trouble for Paul inside the jail. See, the devil wanted to wreck Paul's faith.
Yes, sir.
All right, he wanted to destroy Paul's joy. See, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
All right, but we see Paul, he didn't let anyone steal his joy.
Amen.
All right, and the devil, he wants to do the same to us.
Yes.
So you know the devil want to mess up your faith?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to wreck your faith. You know why he wants to wreck your faith? Because your faith is that which directly connects you with your God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he can destroy your faith, cause doubt in your faith. He knows that he is doing something that he wants to do, getting his advantage over us. All right. And then if he can work your faith, he starts to destroy your joy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, the point here is don't let anyone rob us of our joy in the Lord.
Amen.
Don't let nobody rob you of your joy in your Lord. All right. Don't let nobody do that to you. Okay. And don't rob ourselves of our joy by living a sinful life.
Yeah.
All right. Don't get quiet now. Don't rob yourself of your own joy by living a sinful life, living against the will of God. All right. So I don't know what your troubles may be in your life today. You might have lost a loved one. You might have troubles of your health. You might have troubles at work. You might have trouble in your relationships. You might have trouble with your children. You may have trouble with your marriage. You may have troubles with church members, going through different things in your life. Whatever your troubles may be, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is greater than all of our troubles.
Amen.
And we just simply need to take our cares unto the Lord. If we take our troubles to Jesus, obey him and his word, he will help us with our troubles. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, cast our cares on him because he cares for us. We take our troubles to the Lord. We pray to him. We look to him in his words. And we talk to the Lord about it. Go to the Lord in prayer. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Talk to him. Go to the Lord in prayer. How does the Lord talk back to us? Through the cloud in the skies? No. Where? Right here, right? Through his word. Go to God's word and listen to what God's instruction about what we're going through in our lives. And he will help us with that. We sing a song sometimes. I don't know if we sing it here. A song is, after all the things I've been through, I still have joy. All right. After all the things I've been through, all the things in life and being a Christian, after all that I went through, I still have joy.
Yes.
See, the only way I can truly sing that song with joy is to know that it's God who has brought me through all that I've been through. See, I can truly sing that song. When you start off as a Christian, you hear some, you see that you start singing the songs, and they'll love some nice songs. But as you mature in Christ and you go through something, those songs start having some more meaning to you.
Amen.
All right, they have some more meaning to you there. So I can truly sing that song that after all I've been through, I still have joy. You know why I can sing that? Because the song ends off as, the Lord, you've been so good. I know that the Lord has been so good to me. So I can really sing that song with joy in my heart because I know what God has done for me. Sing another song. It's a kid's song. I heard my young man that. You sleep?
No.
Oh, he back? Okay, I didn't see him back there. I tell you, he's going to help me with this one here. It's a children's song. He says, I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. All right, so we got that joy in our heart. And that joy is to be in our heart, and it's to stay in our heart.
Amen.
Just like a little children, Jesus said, we have to be innocent, just like little children.
Yes.
So just going back to the very beginning, continue to look at the love of God to help us in this walk, that we can have joy in our hearts when we're going through different things in this life. Verse number 18, as Apostle Paul concludes here on his statement there in that passage of Scripture. Verse 18 says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether false motives are true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I will continue to rejoice.
Okay.
Paul says, whatever the motive is, people preaching with false motives or true motives, what matters is that the gospel is being preached. Why is that so important? Because souls are being saved. All right, that's Paul's number one concern. That's God's number one concern, as souls is being saved. And that should be our number one concern, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We want to be in heaven. We want everybody that want to go with us to go with us. And we do our very part to help them out in that situation there. So we see Paul says that number one thing there was the advancing of the gospel, saving souls. And because of that, Paul can rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Let us look at some scriptures here also, showing us that our joy is connected also with the hope of salvation. All right, that's why we can have joy because of the hope of our salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. All right, and it reads, as we're talking here about going through the fiery trials and our faith in Jesus, as Peter speaks of, he says here in verse number 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So you see here, Peter says, you haven't seen him, but you love him. Speaking of Jesus, you haven't seen Jesus, but you love him. You haven't seen Jesus, but you believe in Jesus here. And then we see here, you filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? For you are receiving the end result of your faith. You see, your faith has an end result. Your faith in God has an end result. What is it? The salvation of your soul. You see that? That's why I can be filled with inexpressible, can't even express it, how glorious this joy is, because I know I have the salvation of my soul. All right? James chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Excuse me, James chapter 1, verse number 2. James says, consider it pure joy here, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How do you have that? When I'm going through trials in my life, how do I face that? With joy, knowing that it's going to work out for my greater good, knowing that it's strengthening me, helping me to persevere and to endure. But look at verse number 12. This is the end result. Verse 12. Blessed is the one who persevereth under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. You see that? You are going to receive the crown of life as you go through the trials. You stand that test through those trials, and you're going to receive the crown of life because you love the Lord. All right? And we know, Acts chapter 8. Let us turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 39. Acts chapter 8, verse 39. We know this is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch here. Mm-hmm. All right. Acts chapter 8, 39. We know that now the Ethiopian eunuch is being baptized.
Amen.
All right. And it tells us here in verse 39, it says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing.
Yes.
So we see here Philip now, and the Ethiopian eunuch here, Philip has taught him the gospel, all right? He realized he needs to be baptized, and it says they came up out of the water. So it's a teaching point there for us to understand. We got to be fully immersed in water.
Amen.
All right, baptism is a burial of fully immersed in water. And they came up out of that water, and what happened? It tells the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away. Philip still had work to do. The Lord took him on his way, and then it tells us that the eunuch didn't see him anymore, but he went on his way, what?
Rejoicing.
Why was he rejoicing? He knew he was in the right relationship with God. He's rejoicing. He's in the right relationship with God. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Acts 16, 22. All right, we know this account here of Paul and Silas. All right, they're now in prison in Philippi. All right, same congregation that Apostle Paul was writing to here in Philippians chapter 1, and verse 12 through 18, we just read. And now we see here, they're now in prison. Let's work at verse 22. It says, the crowd joined in and attacked against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them into the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Mm-hmm. About midnight, Paul and Silas were crying. Were they crying?
They were singing.
All right, they were praying and singing hymns to God.
Yes, sir.
And the other prisoners were listening to them. All right, so we see here Paul and Silas here. Once again, innocent men here, all right, being arrested. And what happened to them? They were stripped and beaten. All right. Now, severely flogged, beaten, thrown into prison. And now they fashioned in this stock here with their feet, fashioned in these stock. And they were not in that jail crying and complaining, but they was praising and singing God. How do you have joy in such situations like that? They know they're in the right relationship with their God, who will never leave them or forsake them. All right, so we see that the other prisoner was listening also. And the rest of the story was this earthquake that came. Is that a coincidence that this earthquake came? This is the Lord here. Earthquake came, all right? Tells us that the doors were open, all right? Tells us the chains fell off. The Lord was at work here, all right? And then we know that the jailer, he was about to take his sword and kill himself.
Yeah.
He thinking that all these prisoners has escaped. But Paul tells him, don't worry about it. We all here. Don't take your own life. Everybody's still here. Don't take your own life. All right? And then we know that the jailer and his household was taken, and they were baptized.
Yes, sir.
All right? They were baptized, and they were baptized immediately. All right? Straightway. Didn't wait till next week. All right? Didn't wait till the whatever.
First Sunday,
third quarter, whatever it was. I don't know how much time I got. Y'all forgive me if I'm messing up on my time. I don't know how much time I got. Until when I became a Christian, I was going somewhere. I didn't know where it was, but I just wanted to get baptized. And they told me to come back in, I think, 14 days. So, you know what I thought? I don't know if that's right, because there ain't no telling what I'd be doing in 14 days. So, you know, the Lord worked it out where I was given a phone by somebody at work. They had called the Church of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And I talked to the lady on the phone, all right, and the lady told me 14 days. That's not right. But you can come down and we can read about it in the Bible.
That's right.
I told, okay, I'll be down there. And that's a part of my story of how I became a Christian. But it was some church or whatever it was, some denomination, told me to come in 14 days. There's no telling what Dante would have been doing in 14 days. God knew what he was doing. So we see the scripture let us know straightway, immediately, we need to go ahead and take advantage of salvation while God is offering it unto us. So verse 34 says, the jailer brought them into his house, set meat before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. So they was taught the word of God. They obeyed the gospel. He was baptized, him and his whole house. And it tells us he was filled with what? Joy, because he had become to believe in God with his whole household. He had salvation was given unto him. All right. Matthew chapter 5. I'm being ready to wrap it up here. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I'm looking at the words of Jesus here in verse 11 and 12. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Jesus says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. All right? So we see Jesus says, even though people might insult you, persecute you, say all kind of evil things against you, rejoice and be glad. Why? Because your reward is in heaven. It is great, and it is in heaven. So there are several ways for us to have joy in the Lord. Praying to the Lord, all right? Reading God's word, his scripture, Christian fellowship. One, counting our many blessings to see what God has done. Getting busy, helping out other people, and seeking and saving the lost. This is what's going to help us to have the joy that God wants us to have, because it's being about obedient to our Lord that we're in the right relationship with. All right, and concluding here, let us turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's see how we can have joy in any circumstances, and that is by looking at Jesus Christ himself. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And it reads, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see here, Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. You see that? The joy that was set before him, and now he is exalted, sitting at the right hand of the Father. You see, with Jesus, we endured all of what he went through because he had his mind and his eyes set on eternity. He had his mind and his heart set on getting back into glory with his Father. You see that he endured everything because he had the joy in his heart of being back with God in heaven, being back with the Father. All right, so that's where we should always be, having the joy in our hearts also, looking beyond this world and looking to heaven. We can always have the joy in our hearts for that. All right, so we know that as Christians, we have joy because we have the hope of eternal life with our God. All right, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. But for the world don't have that joy and don't have that hope. But that's the sad news, that the world don't. But the good news is that they can have it. All right? And when we look there in Luke chapter 2, we see the announcing of the Messiah coming into the world. All right? The angels went and announced it to the shepherds that there was going to be good news brought unto all men. All right? The scriptures let us know that I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people, as the angels announced to the shepherds. And he says also, glory to God in the highest of heavens, and on the earth, peace to those who have favored rest. All right, so we know that joy and peace is offered unto all mankind. So Jesus has died, he's made a way for, he is the way for all men to be able to come to the Father. Mm-hmm. But the only way that man can truly have that joy and their peace, they have to come and obey God. They have to obey Jesus Christ. They can't come on their terms. They have to come on God's terms. Amen. And when they do, they can have the same joy and the same peace that we have as the children of God. And that is the message that we are to share with the world. So no matter what happens in this life, remember, because of what Jesus has done, we have the promised hope of heaven. So when troubles will be no more, and we will spend eternity with God, and because we know that we can have joy. Because of that, we can have joy in any circumstance in life. So as Apostle Paul wrote also to the Christians there at Philippi, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say again, rejoice. So we as Christians should always have the joy in our lives. Even though we might go through different trials and tribulations here in this life, it may damper us at times, but we know that we can always have the joy in our hearts because we're in the right relationship with God, because we love God, and we know that all things are going to work out for good for those that love the Lord. Amen. All right, so we can have that joy no matter what happens in this life. There's anyone here who, as a Christian, maybe have things going on in your life, you may have strayed away from the Lord. You may have been at, like the prodigal son. All right? The Father's waiting for you with his arms opened up for you to come back home. All right, somebody may be here that has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You hear the word of God. You believe the word of God. You repent of your sins. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You are to be baptized, just as we've seen with the Ethiopian eunuch, and also we've seen with the Philippian jailer. You are to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, immersed in water, coming up out of that water, having the newness of life, that you are in a right relationship with God, and you can have great joy in your heart, knowing that I have done what the Lord has required me to do. All right, if anyone is here, have anything or desire that they would like to bring before the congregation, you can do so as we now begin to stand and sing the invitation song.
All to Jesus.